Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Real Fake Baseball for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I am your host, Paul Martin, at Paul the Martin on Twitter, if you want to follow me over there. And I'm here with my co-host, as always, Walter McMichael. He is on the line with me, at Real Fake Walter on Twitter, if you want to follow him. Walter, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. It's been a crazy today and yesterday with I had a sub-draft start yesterday, and I had two more start today. It's just been wild trying to keep track. And plus, we have that that slow auction going on, too. So it's been, like, trying to juggle all of these things and what's happening in all of them. It's been a headache, but it's a fun headache.
It is an exciting time. You're right, Walter. We have so many drafts going on. We got sub-drafts, auction drafts. College baseball starts this week. I mean, pitchers and catchers are reporting. Baseball is upon us, and I'm getting snow in Connecticut tomorrow, so that should be fun, but there's a lot to hope for. And you transitioned us nicely into what we're going to talk about tonight, and that is first-year player drafts for Dynasty Leagues, because there is a lot of need for that discussion right now, and we're going to take that on tonight. So what do you think? You want to get into it? You got any other anecdotes you want to tell?
No, I love doing these drafts because there's so many different, like, I mean, there are some years, like last year, Ohtani had to be the first pick, and then, like, most people went Luis Robert. I liked Royce Lewis at two, but Royce Lewis and Luis Robert went some order 2-3, and then after that, it's just a big jumble of who you like. So a lot of these are preferential, so I really like that about these drafts. So every single one of them is so much different than the other.
Right, and we were just talking about this year. It's not the year that you want the 1-1 pick in a first-year player draft. I mean, yeah, sure, there is some talent up at the top, Jonathan India, Nolan Gorman, a lot of these guys that can go 1-1, but at the same time, you almost want someone to make that decision for you this year so you can just snag someone with value at 2-3 or in the later rounds even. There's so much talent to go around in the first round.
Yeah, honestly, this year I would prefer to have like the 8th and 9th pick versus the first pick. Whereas last year I probably would have traded most of the first round picks combined for Ohtani, because he is just like such a valuable piece.
Yeah.
Obviously that's a little bit of hyperbole, but this year there's not that clear cut number one. There's arguments for a ton of guys that you could put at one, and I think they're all reasonable arguments.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this year the thing is quantity over quality as far as the pick numbers go. Just because there is so much quality in the picks that it really doesn't matter what pick you have. As long as you have a bunch of them, you can acquire a ton of talent this year. So let's see. Why don't we go ahead and start with who you would target at 1-1 if you did have the pick?
Yeah, personally, I go for upside in these drafts. So I would take Gorman. Nolan Gorman, just because I think he has the highest power ceiling. Obviously there's questions about the hit tool and the speed, and obviously he has no speed. So, but he could definitely be like a 260, 270 with 40 home runs. Like that could be his ceiling. And in OBP leagues, he's going to maintain a good walk rate. So, I would take Gorman one, but there's plenty of guys that could go one.
Yeah, definitely. I think Nolan Gorman is a pretty solid 1-1 pick this year. I think joining the Cardinals makes that hit tool a little bit less of a concern almost, because I think they are really good at teaching players how to hit in the lower levels of the minors, especially. I think if I wanted to be different from you, I would say Jonathan India is a solid 1-1 pick too this year. He has a high floor. Cincinnati is pretty good with these kind of hitters, as we saw out of Senzel, almost out of that Joey Votto type mold, where he has a safe floor as far as OBP goes. He has a safe floor as far as average goes. The power is somewhere around 25, maybe 30 in a ceiling year. Not too much speed, and he plays a really good defense. I think it's an underrated defense too. So he's probably a stick at third base long term, and I think that the talent is definitely there with him, but you can't go wrong with either of those guys, and I think you can make an argument for a ton of these guys. So
yeah, I think India and Larnach are the safe plays.
Yeah,
if you like the college bat route, I think those are the two the two safest options.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's kind of crazy how Alec Baum was kind of talked about up there as far as first-year player drafts goes. And then he debuted for the Phillies, and it looked kind of rough. And now he's falling down draft boards. What do you think about Baum this year?
Yeah, I can't say that I really loved him coming out of the draft. I understand that everybody did really like him, but he seemed a little unathletic to me, just what I look at, obviously. And then the numbers are just terrible. He hit for no power, and that is really concerning to me, that he didn't hit for any power in his debut year. And I know there was talk about an injury, so maybe that was it, and people are just going to get a great value off of him. But I can't say that I love him a lot.
Well, I think if you look at where he went in our Real Fake Dynasty draft at 16, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, Jordan Adams did go one pick behind him, and I kind of like Jordan Adams a little bit better, but that is a good deal for where they took him. And Sydney Blue Sox, who is that in our league?
That's Stevie Ross.
I knew it. Yeah, Sydney. It clicked with me right after I asked. But yeah, okay. So shout out Steve Ross. That was a good pick right there, I think.
Yeah, and Steve Ross is always plucking some nice young players onto his team. So I'm sure it'll end up being a nice value for him.
Definitely. The next guy I want to ask you about is Victor Mesa. He went 9th in our draft. I think that's a pretty solid value. I know you said James Anderson has him as the 1-1. And I think that you can definitely make an argument for that as 1-1. He does have speed and power upside. The power isn't necessarily there yet, but I think the hit tool is very polished. And he's probably going to get reps in the big leagues this year. And I wouldn't doubt if he could even start the year with the team. I'm not in the business of predicting what the Marlins are going to do with their roster. But I'm sure he's going to play in the big leagues at some point this year. And I think that he's polished enough to succeed, honestly. What do you think about Victor this year?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought that he would make it to the big leagues this year. That is kind of interesting. And if he does make it to the big leagues, that's really valuable, getting immediate impact value from a prospect in one of these drafts. Because normally you'll have someone that debuts the next year, and they're not really going to give you too much value, but just getting even a little bit immediately is really nice. So I don't know. I can't say that I love Victor as well. I think he's a guy that I would probably – I'm not going to end up having in any of my drafts, just because I've heard some comps to like Albert Amora, and that just like
that's a low side.
Me.
That's a very low projection for Victor. I mean, this is a very polished bat. He's played with pros overseas since, you know, he was a teen, basically. Like he's kind of like I mean, not on the same level, but in the NBA, Luka Doncic, where he was playing basketball with the pros, you know, forever. And now he's coming over here to play with the best of the best. And I mean, he's 21, going to be 22 this year, I think. He's definitely of age to make it to the big leagues. I mean, we saw teenagers raking in the big leagues last year, so I don't see any real a cap on his playing ability in the big leagues this year. So I think that he's probably like
it's just tough. It's tough without seeing them play organized baseball for a couple years. It is a big unknown with the Cuban guys, because a lot of them, like, from what they do is they get like so, like, they work out like crazy, and then they come in like super tooled up for their workout, and then that's not really like their playing body, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like,
right.
So. So it's going to be interesting. A lot's going to depend on where they kind of assign him to start the year. Like, if they start him in like high A or double A straight out the gate, yeah, I could probably see him in the majors next year. But I think they're going to be a little bit cautious. I think we'll see him in 2020.
Sure. I'm going to predict that he plays this year. I think what we'll see is he probably starts low. He'll definitely get a full season assignment. There's no doubt about that. But I think he's going to just kind of shoot through the minors and end up debuting this year. So I think the ceiling is pretty high. But I think the floor right now is like a, you know, 280, 10 home runs and 20 stolen bases, which isn't bad considering you don't really know what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a good projection for him. And a lot's going to depend on what kind of power he has. If he does have a power, like a little bit more power, he could be like a Starling Marte. So
yeah,
that would be a really nice pick.
Yeah,
really,
I could see really that's a good comp. Definitely not. I mean, Starling Marte is a beast as far as the body goes, and I think Victor has a long way to go before he reaches that. But yeah, I think as far as stats go, that's definitely a good comp. Let's see. How about you know, another guy that might debut this year who's kind of getting some love right now is Merrill Kelly. Do you know anything about Merrill Kelly for the Diamondbacks?
I can't say I know much. I know he pitched in the Rays system for a couple years. Oh my god, I just hit the shit out of my knee. But Jesus on the table. Yeah. He pitched for the Rays for a couple of years and he pitched really well overseas, so I don't really know what to do with him. I know he went 15th overall in ours, which is pretty high to me. But yeah, he's gonna be in the rotation this year, so I don't really know. If you need an immediate impact innings, I guess he's your guy if you can't get Kikuchi.
I was just going to say, yeah, this seems like a cheaper version of Kikuchi. I think that, yeah, obviously Kikuchi has a little bit higher upside, but Kelly's no joke. I mean, he's got five good pitches. He's added some velocity in the KBO. He has a really good cutter. Everything's there for him to be a solid starter. And I mean, we saw what Mikolas did last year, and I'm not saying that he's going to be comp to that. I don't know if he's going to be getting Cy Young award votes at the end of the year, but they're going to be looking for rotation arms, and he could probably start the year in the rotation. And I could see him pitching with an ERA in the high threes and maybe close to a strikeout per inning if he really shows these pitches are developed. His mechanics got better. Everything got better when he was in the KBO. So I think that you get a little bit of a steal on him. But in our draft, he went 15th. So that's not too much of a steal. It's still a first-round talent. That's a first-round pick in a normal draft. Obviously, ours is a 20-team league, so it's a little bit deeper. But yeah, Kelly's not one to ignore this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be going that high in most drafts.
Right,
honestly.
Yeah.
But I think what George, the guy who took him, is trying to do is get an immediate impact starter. So, and that's what he got. So there's very few of those available in our draft. So
in every first year player draft, there's really not too many guys like that unless you're lucky and they were hanging out on the waiver wire at the end of last year and no one picked them up. You know what I mean? That's pretty much the only way you can get someone like that. So
yeah, like our only pick in the Ditka dynasty.
Yeah,
so far
somehow Nathan Eovaldi just sitting there on the draft board. I love it.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
That was definitely a weird one. Let's see. You love Xavier Edwards, so I'm just going to let you talk about Xavier Edwards for a little bit.
I think that everyone loves Xavier Edwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly.
He went number three in our draft.
Yeah, yeah. McQuiston loves Xavier Edwards as well.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
Yeah, I just it's like he's an 80 grade. He has 80 grade speed and can hit. And can get on base and can make contact. It's like right now he hasn't hit for any power.
Right.
But, you know, he's 19 years old. I'd expect at least some power can come. And if it really won't matter. If he can just get on base and steal a ton of bases like he does, he's going to be worth a high pick in one of these drafts.
Yeah, and I mean, it might not be the greatest comp considering that Xavier Edwards has a ton of upside and he can tap into more power, but Malik Smith, like, he gets on base, he steals a ton of bases, he's really good at converting the stolen bases, and he can hit, you know, 280 to 300 in any given season because he makes a lot of good contact. I think that's a solid floor comp for Xavier Edwards as far as fantasy numbers go.
You said you broke up a little bit for me there. You said Malik Smith?
Yeah, just because, you know, Malik Smith gets on base a ton. you know, he strikes out a decent amount, but not enough to where it's going to kill his OBP or his average. He can have like a 280 average on the year, and he's really good at stealing bases. He has a ton of speed, and he's good at converting the stolen base opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think he could be like what we wanted Billy Hamilton to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and but like I like what you said about he could add more power, because I think anyone that's 19 and has the athleticism that Xavier Edwards has can probably tap into at least 10 home runs per season. But, you know, that yeah, remains to be
it's
seen.
It's going to be tough because he's kind of small. He's a little small.
Yeah,
he's
but
not,
you,
he's not a big dude.
No, definitely not. But, you know,
he's
I think
Nick Madrigal small, though.
No. You want to talk about Madrigal, too? Because he seems to be going really high in these drafts, and I like the talent, but you're buying into a lot if you're buying him for fantasy.
Yeah, I'm not really in on Madrigal. He, like, I looked at his spray charts and stuff on the minors graphs, and, you know, he's just, like, hitting a bunch of opposite field singles. Yeah, it's just, like, doesn't look like there's, like, his approach is going to produce, like, any power. It's like, yeah, he can hit, so he'll probably hit, like, 280, 290 at the major league level and steal, like, 20, 25 bases, because he's not a burner like Edwards is.
No, definitely not.
And he doesn't walk either.
No, so, he's straight contact.
Yeah, so he's not going to be a plus OBP guy. So that's also something you have to remember. Like, yeah, he might hit like 280, 290, but that's like a 320, 330 OBP guy. Whereas Edwards might hit, I don't know, like 260, but if he's got the double-digit walk rate, he's going to have a higher OBP. So and OBP is what leads to stolen base opportunities. And with both of these guys, that's what you want, the stolen base opportunities. And I'm just really not in on Madrigal. I can just see myself talking into people that I like more than him.
Yeah, you know, he's basically Luis Urias, but older.
Older? But Luis Urias can, he gets a hold of it, he crushes them.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely higher on Urias than most. He has more power. Yeah, he definitely has some pop.
I know he hasn't really shown it too much in games, but he walks. So I actually like Luis Urias a lot more than I like Madrigal. But yeah, I get it. He's a very high floor, but that's just not what I'm looking for in these. Like when you're going to trade, like if you get one of these guys and you're going to trade them, like they want the guys with upside.
Right. Especially if you're trading prospects, because a lot of times you're going to be trading prospects to a team that's rebuilding who wants that upside a ton. You know, if you're rebuilding, a lot of times you'll be looking for an international guy or an 18-year-old that can flourish into something. And you know what? If they die out, then that's fine, because if you're rebuilding, you're also looking for a quantity of those prospects. So you're going to be trying to gather up a ton of those talents just in case one of those upside lottery tickets decides to hit for you. And Madrigal is not that.
Yeah, just don't be afraid to pick for upside.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'll say. That's like a lot of people, and I will put myself in this. I'd say I put myself in this class as well. We're a little too worried about Joe Adell coming into last year and his, like, the hit toll question.
Yeah.
So I think that you just need to take guys like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Super tooled up guys.
Definitely. I think, you know, there is another high floor guy that is getting a lot of talk right now, and that's Nico Horner. But I think that he has more upside than someone like Madrigal. I think the power is there with Horner, and I think that he's going to tap into it even more next year. And he is going to be very hyped going into the season. I was lucky enough to get him at 11 in our draft. I think he went fourth in the Ditka League. Which is, I think he went to B-Don and Donkey Teeth.
Well, they have separate teams.
Oh, right.
B-Don, the Cubs homer, took Nico Horner at fourth. I'm surprised.
Well, you know what? This is a good guy to be a Cubs homer on, because the hit tool is already there. It's very polished. And he showed really good power last year at the end of the year. Everyone knows about what he did in the Fall League and all that. So He's getting a ton of hype off that, but at the same time, it's deserved, I think. And I needed to be talked into a little bit by Ralph Lifshitz, but luckily he did talk me into him so I could get him in this draft, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. When Jason Panini's just in love with a guy, I think I'm just gonna go with it.
Just target him as hard as possible. Yeah, yeah, that is a good bet.
Just go with it. That's what I'm doing. I like Nico Horner too.
Also, Jason, if you're listening to this, have you ever thought of the Panini Press being your newspaper? I just think, come on now.
That would be a solid name.
The Panini Press. Start that article. We need the Panini Press. And what was our shirt idea from last week? I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, Cedric the Accumulator. Come on now. Cedric Mullins. All right.
Cedric the Accumulator Mullins.
Cedric
yeah,
the Accumulator.
All right. So do you want to just go down the list of what the picks were in our draft? And then I'll say where they went in the Ditka Dynasty draft, just so we can give people an idea of where these guys will be going.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you want me to read off 33 names in a row here?
No. So it's like you say the guy, and I'll say his name, or I'll say where he went in the Ditka Dynasty. Well, honestly, Jonathan India went 1-1 in both of them.
Right.
Which we both think that was a good pick.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with India going first. He's probably, I'd say he's probably a lot of people's first pick.
Yeah, I think he's probably the consensus 1-1. Kikuchi went second in our draft. Where did he go in the Ditka?
He went seventh. So what are you doing with Kikuchi?
I think I'm more of the seventh sort of. I mean, it depends on your team, for sure, because if you have a team that can compete this year, then Kikuchi's probably a pretty good bet. I think we both kind of compared him to, and this isn't a racial thing at all, but Kenta Maeda, just based off, he's probably going to strike out a guy per inning, and he's probably not going to have too much of a whip problem, but as far as, you know, pitching consistently over the year, pitching a ton of innings, I think that's going to be a little bit of a question with him going into this year. I think he can be valuable, though, but you have to have a team that is competing this year, because if he struggles, you don't want to be stuck with him as a rebuilding roster.
Yeah, I don't want Kikuchi this year. No. I just, no, there's too many guys I like.
Yeah.
There's just no way I'd take Kikuchi.
I agree with that. Your boy Xavier Edwards went number 3 to McQuiston, is what we said. And how about?
Yeah, he went 11th in the Ditka Dynasty. So I am actually probably in between there. I have no problem taking him third.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in between there too. I have no problem taking him third too. Nolan Gorman went fourth though, and I probably would have Gorman and India above him. Ralph Lifshitz was able to get Gorman. I'm sure he loved that one.
Yeah, Gorman went third in the Ditka Dynasty, so he's probably going to be like a top 4 pick in most of your leagues.
Yep, absolutely. Be targeting him at the top. I would say 1-1. I think you're on with that. I think Gorman is a solid 1-1 pick. I think the upside is a little bit higher than India's for sure. The floor isn't really there, but at the same time, he is a Cardinals prospect now, so I think that kind of gives you an inherited floor just as a hitter. Trevor Larnach.
And with Cardinal fans, trade value.
And with Cardinals fans, trade value. Yeah, exactly. If you have Matt Thompson in your league, definitely target Nolan Gorman as hard as you can.
That's for sure.
Trevor Larnach went 5th to our boy,
he went second,
Steve.
And he went 2nd in the Ditka Dynasty, so he's going to be a top 5 pick.
Yep, and like you said, he's a kind of a combination of floor and upside. He's a little bit like India. He's probably, if India's going 1-1 in your draft and you have a top 5 pick and you really wanted India, then go after Larnach and you're probably going to be safe there.
Yep, very safe college bat.
Yep.
And he has upside too. I don't want it to seem like him and India don't have upside. They definitely do, but they're definitely the safest prospects here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of an upside pick here, Jared Kelenic. He's getting a lot of hype just because he was involved in a trade last year with the Mets and the Seattle Mariners. And, you know, I don't really know what to think about Kelenic. He kind of raked at the end of last year, though, and I think he has 2020 upside. It's just, do you buy into the hit tool, or is he kind of just a good major league player where he's going to play a solid center field, he's going to kind of hit pretty well. He's going to be able to steal bases and run the bases really well and maybe not hit for too much power, especially in Seattle. So that's kind of making me down on Kelenic a little bit.
Yeah, he went ninth in a Ditka dynasty. I think he's solid. I like him. I like some of the – obviously some of the guys that went ahead of him, and then I would also take Edwards, who went behind him in the Ditka dynasty. But I like him. I like him quite a bit.
Kelenic just seems to be the guy to me that has tools all across the board, but nothing really stands out besides his defense, which is not good for fantasy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. He just he doesn't really excite me in any, like, his speed. The upside just isn't really there in any of the categories, but he's just going to be decent, I think. And
I think he could be like the total package is better than the sum of his parts kind of thing. Like, he won't be great at anything, but if he gets you like 280, 15, 15, he's a good player.
Yeah, I could agree with that. That's a solid bet. Maybe like an outfield version of Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah, something like that. I was trying to think of
15, 15 bats. Yeah. We don't really think about those guys too much, do we?
No, but they're normally pretty solid guys that you want later in drafts. But yeah.
And then Andrew McQuiston is drafting your team, I think, because he took your boy Marco Luciano, too, with the 7th pick. And yeah, you're shaking your head at that one.
He loves Luciano, and I didn't have any first-round picks in this league. So I couldn't get Edwards or Luciano, which is just so painful. But yeah, he went 14th in the Ditka dynasty, and I think that's too low. I think his upside is just massive. Like, this is a guy to get in on before he blows up, because he's just like the best international bat in the class.
Absolutely. His upside is massive, and it's good for fantasy too, because he's going to hit for a ton of power. This is a giant man.
Giant 17-year-old.
Yeah, well, he looks like a man. Let's get that straight real quick.
Yeah, he's like massive, and he's 17, just already has, like, everybody has already said he already has plus raw power at 17.
Oh, yeah.
He could honestly be like something like Eloy, like what we see right now. Yeah. Obviously, that's at the upper end of his outcomes, but this is kind of what Eloy was as a prospect, like as a 16, 17-year-old prospect.
Yeah, as a signing. Yep, definitely. So we'll see how much the polish is, or we'll see how good the polish is this year with Luciano. But I would have definitely taken him over Kelenic for sure, and Kikuchi.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he's probably a top five prospect for sure.
He's in there. He's like top. Yeah, I'd probably take him at like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. We had Brian Rocchio go. Rocchio?
I think it's Rocchio.
Rocchio. We had Brian Rocchio go 8th. And is that a common thing, or is he picked up in most leagues?
Most leagues that he couldn't, like, you can't pick up late in the season, he should be available.
Right.
Because he didn't blow up until late in the year. Ditka Dynasty, we actually already own him.
Yes,
so
we do. Because
he's
solid.
Not available in the yeah, I picked him up the last day of the season. But yeah, he's an interesting guy. I know you drafted him in that. Well, I don't even know what the name of that draft is.
It is the Harvest Prospect Draft over on Baseball Farm. It's a pretty fun league. I mean, we got the group chat going. James Anderson's in it. Ralph Lifshitz is in it. Pretty much the whole Prospects Live team is in it. Obviously, Baseball Farm was the one that put it together. But we have a good group of people, and I took Rocchio just basically because part of the league is, well, it's broken down into thirds with the scoring. One of them is stats. One third is stats, obviously. The second third is the amount of promotions you get total on your team, and then the third of scoring is the aggregate rank on top 100 lists at the end of the year. And I guess they have some sort of like Chip Bourne is pretty good with the stats and stuff, so he kind of aggregates the lists himself. I guess he has some sort of score that he uses, but Yeah, I just think I took him because I think he's going to kind of cruise through the minors this year. And if not, then he'll at least break into a bunch of top 100 lists this year, because the Indians love these young switch hitting, you know, little bats that can just kind of run around the field like crazy and hit the ball like crazy. And after changing Jose Ramirez and Frankie Lindor into what they did, I am definitely buying into Rocchio.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Rocchio a lot. I think that this actually, I think it's a good pick here.
Yeah.
It might be a little early, but you kind of have to jump out there if you want to get the guy.
Yeah, if you want to get the guy you like, that's for sure. And then right after him, it was Victor Mesa, who we already went over.
And that was the 10th pick?
That was the 9th pick.
The 9th pick. Okay, and he went 13th in the Ditka dynasty. So going around there, he might go a little earlier depending on who's in your league. So I would probably expect him to go a little bit higher than what he went in these two.
Yeah, he's a popular name for sure. He's definitely I could see him going in. He's definitely going to be a top 10 pick. It's going to be different in every draft for him. I don't know. We already talked about him, though. So let's move on to Casey Mize, who went 10th in this draft.
Yeah, he went 6th in the one that I'm looking at. And yeah, I mean, Mize, I think, I don't know. I have a hard time taking pitchers in the first round in general.
Yeah.
But I do think he's just going to run through the minor leagues.
Oh, yeah. He's already invited to the camp over Alex Faedo, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we could be looking at this in a year and thinking, why weren't we a little bit higher on Casey Mize? Because he's already, like, top 20 prospect, and he's getting ready to debut or has already debuted. So I don't know. I think there's a good amount of upside with Mize.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though he's a pitching prospect.
Well, yeah, but you know what? He is a really polished college arm who has a lot of good pitches. And honestly, I don't know. Like, it depends on your league for sure, but he has really good stuff. He has really good velocity. He's shown it in his debut. You know, he's shown it in college, and I think it's time to just trust him and kind of just go in on him. I think you're right. I think we do need to look a little bit harder at Casey Mize, and I will do so with the rest of my first-year player drafts, because I'm kind of having a little FOMO right now the more that I look into him.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, well, aces are hard to come by, and I think there is legitimate ace upside. I mean, he dominated in college. I don't know. Yeah, there is some fear of missing out for sure. I would probably take him over Kikuchi personally.
Yeah, he'd definitely be my number one pitcher out of this draft.
Yeah, so I think we both agree there. I'm still gonna take him after the bats though.
Yeah, definitely. The next two guys we already talked about here, 11 and 12, were Nico Horner and Nick Madrigal. So where'd they go in the other draft?
They went 4 and 10.
Yeah, so Nick Madrigal a little too high. I think he's more of a I'm just not targeting him at all. He's not going to fall anywhere where I would want him. That's all I'm going to say. And Horner is definitely a guy I would be targeting in the top 10.
Yep, I'm with you there.
Joey Bart went 13.
Yeah, he went 8 here, and he's the top catcher. So I think if you think Joey Bart can hit, like you don't think the hit tool is a question, and it's a two-catcher league, he should be going higher than what he went in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Joey Bart is a top 10 first-year player draft prospect to me. I think the hit tool is legit. I think the power is legit, too. Obviously, he's going to be hitting in AT&T Park, which is nothing that you want for a power hitter. But, you know, I think the safety is there, and he is a really good catcher, so he's going to stick there. And Buster Posey isn't playing forever, so Joey Bart is going to make his way into that lineup at one point. I think he's very safe as a major league bet at some point. I don't think he's just going to flame out. And, yeah, I mean, the swing is nice. The hit tool is there. The power is there. Obviously, there's not too much speed as a catcher, but it's what you want out of a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I'm not really in on Joey Bart. I'm just saying, if you think the hit tool is there, which you do,
yes,
obviously.
I do think the hit tool is there.
Then he should be going a bit higher. I'm a little pessimistic on Bart, so I would have him a bit lower.
Jordan Groshans went next. I switched the window here, but he went pick 14 in this draft.
Yeah, so he went 17 in this one. So looks like he's going to be like your mid-teens round pick, and I like him. I think he's just like another high school bat that the Blue Jays drafted, and I mean I liked all the stuff that I've seen, like from Jason Waddell and stuff that he was tweeting out before when he saw him, and I like him. I think he's got a decent amount of upside. He's probably going to play third base, and he has good power and a pretty good hit tool. So I'm in on Groshans.
Yeah, he has a beautiful, beautiful swing too. It's so smooth. I mean, he has the potential to tap into more power too, and I think with that swing, the hit tool is just, it's going to flourish, and the Blue Jays are really good with these prospects, like you said, and, you know, I don't think he's related to any major leaguers, so that might be a problem for Toronto in the future, but at this point...
Oh, they probably cut him already because of that.
Yeah, probably. Maybe he's like being adopted by someone as we speak. He's being adopted by former major leaguers. You heard it here first. But yeah, solid pick. I think that's a good range for him. 10 to 15 is a solid range to be targeting Groshans. I think the floor is definitely higher than people would expect for a high school bat, and the upside is significant. So that's a really good combination for a young bat who's probably going to stick at third. Merrill Kelly went 15th. We already talked about him.
Yeah, he hasn't gone yet. We're at pick 19, or we're at pick 20. We had just made the 19th pick in the Ditka Dynasty. So they're a bit behind us. The guy that is up now is just taking forever to pick.
Yay, that's always fun. Alec Baum went 16th. We talked about him already too.
Yep, and he has not gone yet.
Ah, see, so that's going to be a pretty good steal in that draft. I think if you can get Bohm after the first round, I wouldn't be overlooking him, but there is other talents that I like better than him. Jordan Adams went 17th.
I was going to say the only reason I would like to take him is because you pronounce his name differently both times in that last sentence.
Bohm? Bohm? Bohm?
You said Bohm and Bohm.
Yeah, I don't really care. Jordan Adams went next, 17th in this draft, and I really love Jordan Adams. I took him in that prospect draft too.
Yeah, he went 16, so looks like he's going to be in that range.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a ton of upside there.
Oh, so like, much upside. And honestly, he showed quite a bit more polish than I thought he was going to last year. But he has, according to Matt Thompson on Prospects Live, double plus speed and plus raw power. So that is very solid for someone that you're taking as a high school bat.
Yeah, and of course, everybody's seen the athleticism with that dunk, so...
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, you love videos like that go viral. The Angels have a specialty at that.
Yeah, I was looking on Twitter, and they have one where... I don't know who it was, but they were throwing an alley-oop to Deshaun Knowles.
Ooh.
And it was like Jordan Adams was there. He's like, and he said, like, can't windmill, but I can still throw it down.
And then Joe Waddell told him to move the hoop up 2 feet, and he threw it down.
Yeah, they have just some insane athletes that they have drafted. So that kind of does make me more interested in Jordan Adams, because he's also another guy who is like 70 to 80 grade speed. So
yep.
he could be that guy where he should have been the first pick.
He kind of reminds me of, you like Xavier Edwards. He's kind of like maybe less hit tool, but more raw power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could see it.
I would definitely say it's a take your pick with those guys. And Edwards is going a lot higher right now. So if you have a late pick, then hold it and hope for Jordan Adams, or just try to trade up a little bit just to get him. I think it's a solid target this year. Matthew Liberatore went 18th, and I really like that value too. I know he's a young pitcher and you hate that, but his talent is ridiculous.
I mean, I don't necessarily hate young pitchers. I just hate taking young pitchers early. Because it's just like so many guys pop up. Like you can get – like when do you think – well, actually, I don't even want to say his name because I want to draft him. But
just say it for the sake of the podcast. Think of the listeners,
okay.
Walter. My
okay.
God.
Okay, okay. It's like, when do you think like Lenny Torres is gonna go?
Oh yeah, no, I mean definitely later. Way later. There's I could name, I'll name someone on the same team for you, Ethan Hankins. When is Ethan Hankins gonna go?
Yeah, and it's like, sure, Liberatore is the better prospect right now than those guys. I will give you that.
Yeah.
But it, with pitching prospects, all it takes is like you, like something can just click with them. And I do really like Lenny Torres.
I do too. Yeah, he went through he went through that the pitching thing where they like, oh, top velocity. That's what it's called. He actually went through that. So that's where he got a lot of his velocity boost when he was in high school.
Yeah, yeah. So I like him a lot. And it's just like, I think if I can just load up on bats early and then just like try and take the super young pitchers later, like that have zero cost to them, that's what I'm going to do. And it has nothing to do with Liberatore. I do like Liberatore a lot. I think that he's going to be really good. He dominated his first year and it was like,
he's going to kill those young hitters. I mean, he's so advanced compared to those guys. It's crazy.
It's not really fair, but I remember the stat you gave me. Didn't he have like a 20% swinging strike rate or something crazy?
Yeah. Well, then
it's like he has two plus. It's like these guys aren't ready for two plus off speed pitches.
Plus 95 from a lefty.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. That's not even counting the fastball, but just like,
yeah,
all that combined, it's just, it like they can't really hang with him. So he probably won't even get challenged until he's in like high A or double A.
Yeah. And you know what? When he was in high school too, he was playing against some of the best competition. Like he was playing like against Nolan Gorman and guys like that in high school. So, and he was dominating those guys too. I think he gave up like one run in his last high school year, something crazy like that. Like, he's insane. But yeah, I like what you're saying there. I think you can go either way with that. Alec Thomas went 19th.
Yeah, and he has not gone yet. And I know Ralph loves him some Alec Thomas. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much like, I haven't really dug too deep into Alec Thomas. It seems like what I've read is like he's like a leadoff hitter type where should be able to get on base a bit, and he doesn't have too much power at the current stage. So I don't know. He's like a super like built guy.
Yeah, and you know what? To have a guy like that have a hit tool like Alec Thomas and speed is kind of exciting, because I think he can develop into more power. I mean, he can definitely develop into more power. It's all about if he can.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I think he's a good pick at this point. Like I said, he's another upside gamble, and I just love going for the high upside young hitters. That's like right in my wheelhouse.
Yep, that's a solid pick right there. I like Alec Thomas, and I think I need to look into him a little bit more too, but I like the way that he projects out as a fantasy player for sure. Tyler Freeman went 20th out of Cleveland, from Cleveland, in Cleveland. What do you think about Tyler Freeman?
Yeah, I can't say that I really love Tyler Freeman. He kind of seems like a utility infielder more so to me. I mean, I know he hit well in A-ball this year, but it was like he just makes a ton of contact, and it's like extremely low K rate, extremely low walk rate. So it's not really the type that I invest in.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm looking for tooled up guys.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking for more tooled up guys than Tyler Freeman too. Although I do like what Cleveland does with these contact hitters, I don't see it the same way with him as I do. You know, he's kind of like a Madrigal almost to me.
Yeah, that's a solid comp. Which
yeah, yeah, and I'm not targeting either of those guys. So that's it, right? We don't have to talk about Tyler Freeman anymore. We're done.
No, we're done with Tyler Freeman.
Okay, because
you can run through a couple of these guys. And
yeah, I'm not too sure what happened. Well, Malcolm Nunez went 21. I think we both like Malcolm Nunez, right? Solid Cardinals hitter.
I have no clue.
I have no clue,
honestly. It just seems like a mature guy that beat up on the Dominican Summer League. I honestly have no clue what what he's going to be.
That's fair. I think it's a good, I mean, 21.
It's a good gamble, though.
It's a good gamble. Yeah, because if he does move up the ranks and he still rakes, then that is huge. And, I mean, the Cardinals really liked him. So I'm all, if the Cardinals like a hitter, I'm probably going to be targeting them in some drafts. And I took him in that prospect draft, too. Because I think he's going to cruise through the minors this year a little bit, get a few promotions, and I'm in the camp that thinks he's going to be a top 100 prospect at the end of the year.
And he went 18 in the Ditka dynasty, also to the Itch. He took him in both of our draft and both of these drafts.
Yep. So the Itch seems to like him a lot, and you know what? I like what the Itch thinks sometimes. So I'll side with the Itch here.
Just sometimes.
Just sometimes. I don't even like what you say all the time. So. Yeah, that's most of the time. Geraldo Perdomo went 22nd. Do you have anything to say about Geraldo Perdomo?
I like him. He's like one of those guys who has the massive walk rates.
Yeah,
which is just like, yeah, and it's an OBP league, and you know me, that's how I was on my boy Brandon Nimmo, and I've liked Nolan Jones because of it, and it's just like. He walks a ton. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's hit for some power. He's stolen some bases. It's all around. It's a profile I really like. And I was hoping he was going to make it to me.
Yep. And
two of these guys, him and Ralph, just killed me with these two picks.
Well, you know what? And he's young and he's a switch hitter. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going for him. So. And he's kind of big, too. Like, he has some power projection there, even though he hasn't shown it too much. So I think that could definitely grow. It's a solid pick for our boy Lucas. I like it. Good for him.
Yeah, it only took him 8 hours to make the pick. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it really didn't. But really, please hurry up, faster. Lucas. Yeah. You're actually on the clock right now, so yeah.
Is he? I thought that was the – no, it's the Ditka Sausage Boys, aren't they? Aren't they on the clock? Yeah,
no,
they are.
They were before me.
No, they're on the clock.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
All right, relax. We have Luis Garcia next. Or no, we have Travis Swaggerty went 23rd.
Yeah, he seems – I don't know. He seems kind of like Kalenic to me.
He seems kind of safe, yeah. I think it's just obviously
like he's just an all-around
yeah, safe college bat that doesn't have – well, it's like Kalenic if he went to college like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Couldn't play center field. But we don't care about him playing center field, so we're going to just move on. I'm not really too high on Swaggerty. Luis Garcia, though, who went to Ralph from Philly.
Yeah, that one hurt. I was hoping I would get Perdomo and Luis Garcia, but – it was not to be because they both got taken. But yeah, Luis Garcia, I mean, this is another one of the things where it's like Jason Waddell, who's seen him, loves him, put him in his number one Phillies prospect. And it's like, and he passes like the numbers test as well. It's yeah. Like, those are the guys I want to invest in. The ones the scouts really like and the numbers are really good.
Jason is psychotically high on Luis Garcia.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
really
know why I
high.
Even thought why I even thought he would make it to me because Ralph was in this draft.
And you know what? Ralph doesn't even like him as much as Jason.
No, but he with the players that are left, it's like he's gonna side with his partner there.
Oh, well, yeah, out of the play. I mean, that is one of the better higher upside picks of the draft, regardless of him going 24th. So I like
yeah,
that pick
a great
there.
Pick. I love it. I wanted it to be my pick.
Yep, young, so just a young high upside bat. Exactly what you want to target in a draft like this. We got John Torres next from St. Louis. He went 25th to bat flip crazy. What do you think about John Torres?
Yeah, I don't know.
He spells John how I used to spell it as a kid.
Like when you'd make like an error
yeah.
Spelling it.
And I'm like, how the hell do you spell the name John?
John.
It's only four letters. Let me screw it up.
Yeah, he came over in – what was the trade? That was for the Oscar Mercado trade, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean he hit really well last year, especially when he came over to the Cardinals. I think it's a – it is a good guy to invest in just because it's like he's another guy who walks a ton. And like you said, Cardinals guy. I mean.
Yeah, Cardinals hitters, man. It's definitely.
He's a guy they picked out.
That's something to focus on in these first-year player drafts, is what organization targeted them, and do they target other players like this? You know, John Torres is a, pretty tooled up guy. I mean, he's a big dude. He's shown some power. Last year, he had 8 home runs in 44 games, which is very solid. Showed some speed a little bit. And, yeah, he hit well in the GCL. It wasn't just, you know, Dominican Summer League or anything silly like that. He actually hit really well here in the States, and I'm buying into that. Like you said, Cardinals hitters, you want to buy into those guys, especially when they're young like this. So John Torres is someone to target for sure if he's available. Cole Wynn, 26, I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, another young pitcher. I think it's solid.
Another
solid
young, there. High upside pitcher, but... Texas, that's, we're talking about organizational targeting, and Texas does not do well with high school pitchers.
That doesn't worry me too much.
All right,
I think most of that, I don't think anyone does well with high school pitchers.
That's very true. Grant Levine went to you, 27th, and you are cornering the market on first base prospects, you said. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, that's just amazing. Yeah, I'm a contending team, and I have sold away almost all of my minors. So Grant Levine brings us to Grant Levine, who is he's a first base prospect, but he's 19 years old. He walked more than he struck out in rookie ball last year, and he showed some power and even stole some bases for a big guy. So I don't know, and he's on the Rockies. So if he ever were to make it with the big league team, I've got the Rockies starting first baseman.
Yeah, but since he's on the Rockies, he probably won't make it till he's like 25. So
yeah, I mean, I'll probably have traded him by then, if we're being honest.
But it is a really safe. It's a safe high school bat if there ever was one.
Yeah, I mean, he hit really well last year.
Yeah, and
he had a really strong debut, and he's
legendary,
a
legendary high school career. So, Grant Levine, definitely a solid pick right there. Oh my God, here we go with this one. Shervin Newton for the Mets. I really like him as a player. I just don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, I think you actually got it right.
Nice.
That I would guess that's how you say Shervin.
Shervin Newton.
I think it's just Shervin.
Yeah, he stuck that Y in there like Dwayne Yade. Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Yade.
Dwayne Wade. Like,
yeah, that's a bad one. But yeah, this guy's like a super upside pick. I mean, he's just like a massive dude who plays. I mean, they had him playing shortstop, didn't they?
Yep, second. They have him listed at second and third. They played him at shortstop. They played him at.
Strikes out a ton.
They play him all over the place.
This is just another super high upside pick. I like it though.
And he's been in the organization for a few years now. So I mean, he's not really like a new name, but he is kind of shooting up this year a little bit, and the walk rate is ridiculous for a young kid like this, so you love to see that, but you just hope he can learn how to pick his pitches a little bit better as he moves up the ranks. And I think a guy with an eye like that can definitely learn that talent a little bit better than someone who doesn't have that right off the bat. So if he can draw a walk, I think at some point he can pick his pitches. You took Greg Holland 29th, and that's basically just because you are competing, and that's a solid pick.
Yeah, I'm competing, and I'm trying to, like, I have not invested like anything in closers, and I'm just trying to scrounge up as many shit closers as I can skate by with saves.
At least he's not pitching in cores, so that's a good thing.
Positive.
Yep. And I mean, he did decently for a little while there too, so that's
I mean, like, when I say that I have like shit closers, have you looked at the closers I have?
No, but I believe you.
No, it's literally bad. Like, I have Greg Holland, Shane Green.
Yes.
God. Trevor May, Arodis Vizcaino, and then I also have Joe Jimenez for when Shane Green is inevitably terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, I like Joe Jimenez a little bit better, a lot of bit better than Shane Green, that's for sure.
like how I say Shane Green, you're like, oh, God, I didn't make that bad.
Well, I mean, as a Yankee fan, I have a long history with Shane Green, and I never liked him. And even when he was closing, I was like, you just wait a little bit. And then he blew up, as he inevitably would. So, yeah, I think you made a good bet handcuffing him there with the better pitcher.
I was going to say, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Yeah, getting closers in a 20-team dynasty is painful.
It is.
So I'm just trying to get as many crappy ones as I can and hope they don't kill me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a fair bet. Seth Beer went 30th, and I like that pick there.
Yeah, Seth Beer, especially OBP league, I think he could end up being the Astros' DH.
Yep.
They obviously like him. He can't play defense at all, but he's a hitter.
He's a good hitter, and that's really all there is to it. In fantasy, that's really all we care about, and it's going to come with the average and the OBP and the power, and that's a good park to hit for power and a good lineup to hit for power for sure. So,
all right, we can end it on your pick.
All right, because you don't want to talk about your Carlos Rincon pick at all?
Oh, we can talk about Carlos Rincon. Okay.
All right. Well,
Jeremiah Jackson.
Yeah, first. And I think that the upside with him is very, very serious, and I was all over that in this draft.
I agree.
Yeah, that's all there really is to it. I mean, he has good speed, good power. I mean, he was a solid high school bat. I think that he was even considered to be like a top half of the first round in the MLB draft as far as talents go, but he kind of slipped into the second round, pick 57, which was a really good spot for the Angels. And like you said, these athletic prospects with the Angels, I'm buying into them, and I don't think you should ignore that at all.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, he's just another one of the tooled-up guys. But, yeah, Carlos Rincon. So I took him, one, because I know Smata likes him, so because he took him in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits 30. And so I wanted to have him because I looked him up after that, and I was like, wow, this guy, like, went crazy in high A last year. Like, he got the promotion from A-ball to high A as a 20-year-old. And in 131 plate appearances, he hit 327, 427, 818 with 15 home runs.
Yeah, and I was like telling you that I
destroyed high A. And I don't know if that's actually like a thing or if it was just being hot, which does happen. Players just get hot. But I think a second round pick right there, especially in an OBP league where he's shown – good walk rates and he's always been able to hit for power, I think it's worth it there.
Yeah, the strikeouts are definitely there with Carlos Rincon, and there's a lot of swing and miss, and he's a huge dude, so he's definitely gonna have to tame that a little bit. But I do like the power. I do like the, you know what, I might have to target him as my utility in that prospect draft because I think that he can rake this year as far as power goes. And, you know, if he does perform like that, I mean, he is still young, 22 years old, but he's going to have to kick it up through the minors this year a little bit and prove that he can sustain that hit to a little bit better than he did in his first, what was it? 2 years, because he's been in the Dodgers organization for a few years now.
Yes, 2016 was his debut year. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. He's always had raw power.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's just never really put it together. So it's like that little stretch, and that's not like a. I know it's just a month, but 15 home runs in a month is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and he did cut down the strikeouts when he restarted A-ball this year too. So that's something you like to see. He did improve on that by, you know, 12 percentage points. So that is a solid move right there. And then he improved it again when he moved up to high A. So that's something to look at. And I think that's going to be it. I just want to get your thoughts here. Where are you taking Kyler Murray?
Poor Kyler Murray.
I know he's going to get thrashed for the bad decision that the Oakland A's made last year, and that sucks.
And the thing is, it's not his fault.
It's not.
That MLB has such a shitty system for players to earn money.
Yep.
Absolutely. He's going to sign for, what was it, $4.5 million, I think is what it was.
Yep. 4.6, I think.
4.6, something around
something
there.
Around there.
Then he was going to wait in the minors for 3 years. By that point, he's what, 25? Then he has to wait 6 years in the majors before he gets his first big contract. And that's even if he becomes good.
Right.
Now, he goes to the NFL and he's going to be guaranteed like $20 million. Like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's easy. And if he's a good quarterback, he's going to make more than he would in baseball.
Definitely. I mean, even as a backup, he can make more than he would in baseball in his first, you know, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years as a player. But, you know, and I don't even think that he was, they kind of took him really high, you know, as the ninth pick. He wasn't really rated that high as a prospect. He's really raw and he didn't really show too much in college. So, and he was really bad at the Cape Cod League. So, it was just a huge mistake for the Oakland A's, like Joe would say.
But I think the A's will get they'll get the 10th pick in this upcoming draft, correct?
I heard that they're not getting a pick, no, but they get their money back, though.
Why would they not get the pick? They offered him the money.
Well, I've just seen that on Twitter from a few people. I think Matt Thompson was tweeting it out, too, that they're not going to get their pick back, so... I trust what I see there. I haven't dug into it too much yet because I don't really care. Like the Oakland A's just made a mistake. And honestly, if they don't get their pick back, then that's on them. They shouldn't have let him play football.
I agree. They shouldn't have let him play. Well, it's going to be hard because he wouldn't sign unless you let him play.
But no one was going to draft him because they didn't know if he was going to sign. So why would you take him ninth? You could have taken him in like the second round and just taken a shot on him. You know?
Yeah, that part I agree with.
No one was taking him in the first round knowing that he wanted to go back to college to play football and take over for Baker Mayfield. That was just silly of them.
I think what... If they do get a pick back, I think that was part of their reasoning. They know if...
Yeah, like the Carter Stewart thing?
Yeah, like if it happens where they can't sign him, then they'll just get the 10th pick next year. And they may not have liked any of the other guys at that pick. So maybe that's what it is. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. I'm happy for Kyler Murray. I hope he makes tons of money in the NFL.
Yeah, go get that bag. Secure it, boy.
For sure.
But I just had to get that out there because it's a big thing right now, and I figured we'd give a little bit of the take on it since we are trying to do more of a dynasty spin this year. And honestly, that's gonna be it for us tonight. Solid hour of first year player draft talk. I think that people are gonna get a lot out of that. Thank you for joining me tonight, Walter, at RealFakeWalter if you want to follow my boy here on Twitter, and at PaulTheMartin if you want to follow me on Twitter. I'm updating all this stuff with the Harvest prospect drafts, so if you want to go check out that, you can go to baseball-farm.com, and they have the draft tracker right on there, so that's pretty interesting if you want to see the prospects, because you know what? This is a good draft for kind of gauging what prospects are going to blow up this year a little bit. You know, who's going to be rising through the minors, who's going to be getting the highest stats in the minors, and who's going to be eventually on top 100 lists at the end of the year. So the order might look a little weird when you first look at the overall picks, but once you see the scoring and stuff, it makes sense. And I think we might talk about that next show, just to kind of recap that and go over some of these prospects that we might think are going to rise the ranks this year. So until then, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.